Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, all the way to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Look what it says there. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what a man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men would do you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, this passage involves faith, a faith in action, a faith that strives, a faith, Lord, that looks up to you for the things that we cannot do ourselves. And I pray this morning, Lord, it is by faith that we get saved. I pray if there's someone here never received Jesus as personal Savior, I pray they call upon you this morning for salvation. And I pray for your people this morning. May we be people that when we talk to you, we believe in what we say. We believe that you are listening to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning we will continue. Of course, as our theme for this year is learning with the Master. I did with the Master. I purposely did that. I don't want us to learn from the Master, which we can. But learning with the Master means literally we are to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from Him. So this year, of course, this whole year, as marching along, I'm looking at the Gospels and really using the words of Jesus as a means of teaching Him, teaching us what is this Christian life. So we will continue with the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the longest sermon that Jesus preached. And you see the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus touched in so many different topics. But this morning we look, do you believe God's promises? That's the title of the message. Do you believe God's promises? Listen, we live in a world today, actually it's hard to believe anyone. All right? We live in a world today, in a culture today, that is hard to believe anyone. We have, this says this, this says that, this says that, this says that. And we go, all right, he's telling the truth. We don't know. We live in a very changing culture. Oh, you have to be careful because we live in a world today on which people lie to you and don't even get read anymore. They don't even kind of feel uncomfortable. Boom, they're chair right there. They lie to you. It's like what we call professional liars. They lie to you just like that. That's the culture that we live in. And so it's hard to be honest. No, it's not hard to be honest. We can be honest, but I'll tell you what. We live in a world today that, or in a culture, an American culture, that there's no honesty. There's a lot of greed. There's no honesty. There was no truth. There's liars everywhere we go. And of course, we got stuck with all these people, and we shake our heads and say, where are we going with all this? So, is God a liar? You look at God's word and you say, oh, God is lying here. Is anything in the Bible that says, well, God is lying? No, God is not a liar. God is the source of all truth. The thing is, with that in mind, do you believe God's promises? Did God ever promise something that never came to pass? All right, so God promised a Messiah or a Savior for the human race. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. When Adam and Eve fell into sin. Did that promise come to pass? Yeah. Yes, it did. The Bible says in the fullness of time, Jesus came. Is salvation available? Did God promise salvation? Yes. It became available? Yes. Is any promise of God's word that God then came and fulfilled it? Yes. Now people say, where is Jesus? When is he going to come? God promised that he will come. Amen. But let me tell you, that promise will become true and he will come on God's time, not in our time.
That's right.
We have a lot of naysayers. Oh, look at this. Why is he not going to? Are you believe this? Yes, I do. You know why? Because I believe in God's promises. Now, in this passage today, it says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and it shall be, and you shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, is that a promise here? Yes, it is. Now, when is the last time you asked God? When is the last time you seek the face of God? When is the last time you knock on heaven's door? You see, as we continue our series in the Sermon on the Mount, I can say that we've been dealing with some good subjects. Last week we dealt with subject of do not judge. We live in a culture that don't judge me or don't judge me. Last Sunday, of course, was about not judging. Today is about believing in God's promises. Now this week, we will look at our relationship with the Lord. We are going to learn to really believe in God's promises. Now, we are almost in the end of our Sermon on the Mount. And if we are honest with ourselves, this has been a good, hard, tough journey. Because there's a lot of good topics here in the Sermon on the Mount. From right at the beginning to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, God is very direct to us. Jesus isn't satisfied with, listen to this, our external behavior. That's why the Sermon on the Mount come about. Jesus is interested on your internal behavior. Because when it happens inside, it shows in the outside. When God transforms our heart, it's demonstrated in our everyday life. So Jesus is not just satisfied about us to say, okay, I will deal with this. I think it's okay. But inside, our heart is full of sin. See, we have a form of conformity sometimes. And many people do that. But inside, there is war. Okay. How many parents get surprised when a kid comes to a certain age and a kid turns wild? You know why? Because it was a form of conformity there. I will obey you until I don't have to obey anymore. And when I don't obey you anymore, you watch me. It happens to many families. Isn't Jesus, like I said, is not satisfied with just external behavior, but internal, because that's what changes the outside of man. So by the time we get to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, we may be feeling pretty beat up. If you've been here the whole time, and because this is a tough stuff. These subjects that Jesus bring about, they are tough stuff for us to grow in the Lord. So, and then we come today to this passage here. And of course, when Jesus asked these questions directly, I mean, it challenged us directly to seek God, but seek God in a way that we believe. I say that. When I asked a friend of mine that sent me one time to me, hey, brother, don't sometimes that you pray, if you like the prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back down? I look at him and say, no, I never felt that way. He said, oh, come on. You got to feel that way sometimes. No, because I believe God, and I believe when I'm talking to Him, He's listening to me. When we say things like that, well, God, where are you when I'm talking to you? Seems like my prayers are just hitting the ceiling and coming down. That's a lack of faith in our part. God is faithful to us. We the ones who lose faith in Him. So let's look at this from several points this morning. Number one, the Lord's promise to us. We see this from verse 7 to verse 8. What a wonderful encouragement to pray. My ask question is this for you this morning. Do you pray? Amen. Do you take time in 24 hours that God gives you and actually pray?
You don't have to go. Sometimes we need that. We need to get ourselves in our own closet. We need to get ourselves on our knees. We need to get ourselves down and in a humble position and just talk to God. But sometimes you can just pray, walking, driving, whatever you do, working, and just praying, talking to God. But the question to you is this, do you pray? And you just say, well, I don't pray much. Why? The question is, why? Because the Bible says right here, ask, and it shall be given unto you. You know why? Many times we don't have because we don't ask. And when we ask with no faith at all.
No, asking, seeking, and knocking, that's what the Bible teaches here. It is an amazing promises to God's people. Is it a remarkable promise? Jesus sets no conditions here other than seeking, and knocking. And then he assures us that God will answer our petition, what we're asking him. There is nothing more exciting than knocking, that is and the door of the God of the universe. Let me put it this way. My son lost his job. All right? He lost his job. And you know what I did? I prayed for him. I began to pray, Lord, show him yourself strong to him and provide him a job. It didn't happen the next day. But faithfully, we believe. And I said, Lord, I believe you will. And he did. Amen. You see, it comes to pass when we pray believing. Listen, there are times sometimes, I don't want to contradict myself here, there are sometimes that we pray and we have that little inner voice in our heart. God says, I'm going to do this even though you're praying for this. Because that's his will. I'll give an example. When my dad was dying with cancer, all the situation that was on, the doctor was even telling us he is about 2 months to live. He has no way out. He's going to die. I prayed first that my dad would get saved. I prayed. I've been praying for a long time. Guess what? He did got saved. That's an answer of prayer. But the second prayer that I was praying, Lord, spare him. Take the cancer from him. I pray hard. And every time I prayed, I'm going to take him home. Every time I prayed, I'm going to take him home. And it was until a couple of weeks until the Lord gave me peace in my heart to say, Lord, if that's your will, then I accept it. We have to be faithful enough to ask the Lord, to seek the Lord, to knock on heaven's door. But when the Lord speaks to us, to have faith enough to accept what God has given us. Otherwise, we say, I've been praying, but guess what? It didn't happen what I was asking. Listen to the voice of God. You see, we need to seek and listen to the voice of God. Letter A, our prayer approach. You see this in verse 7. Three times in three different ways, Jesus teaches us that God promised to answer prayer. How does he do that? Number one, the need to ask. Look at Matthew 16:24 says, Hybrid, have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, when you pray and ask God for certain thing, and that prayer comes to pass, what do you do after? Praise his name, glorify, elevate the name of the Lord, and say, Lord, thank you. Because, folks, when we pray, we're asking God for something that we cannot do. Okay, Lord, protect my son or my daughter. Help them to walk in the ways that pleases you. What can you do? You tell me. You can preach to them all day long. If they want to go by the wayside, they're going to go by the wayside. They have a self-will to do what they want to do. It's out of your control, okay? I mean, I remember my mom, when I walk out the door, especially when I get my teenage years, she would give me a sermon every single time. Sometimes you kind of try to sneak out so she won't get, Mom, I already heard this how many times? And she goes, yeah, as long as you live under my roof, I'm going to keep telling you. She would pound that at me. Don't you hang around with these friends. I was like, Mom, you know what? What could you, when I walk out of that door, she could do nothing. So prayer is asking God and approaching him for something that you and I cannot do. Because we believe that he can do the impossible. That's why we approach him. So we approach him believing in faith. So we need to ask him. Listen, if we don't ask, we don't get. So for you to ask, you need to open what? Your mouth. Right? All right, so let's say I need something for my wife and I just look at him. And she goes, what's the matter? What do you need? Do you see that? Nothing is coming out. We need to open our mouth and actually talk to God. For asking, we need to talk. Listen, prayer is how we communicate our needs and desires to God. Listen, does marriage need communication? Yes. How are you going to know what the other person is thinking? You don't know. You got to be communication. That's what builds marriages. Communication. People got to communicate with one another. Let me tell you, how are you going to grow your relationship with the Lord if you don't talk to Him?
That's right.
Ask. Jesus is saying ask, because if you don't ask, you don't get it. You see, prayer is how we communicate our needs and desires to God. Of course, God being all powerful knows what Christians need, whether they ask or not. God knows our needs. God knows our needs. And sometimes things come to pass that we didn't pray about it, and we just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings and your goodness, because His blessings are new every morning. I tell you, James chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 2 says, ye lost and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. So why we Christians many times miss on God's blessings, why we Christians many times don't have things that we should be praying about? Because we don't open those lips of ours, and we don't talk to God. Question. We just started a new day. Did you start a new day with God?
Amen.
That's a question between you and the Lord. But did you start your day with God? That means, like, as soon as your eyes open and your mind began to function and you knew you're still alive, did you actually talk to God? Because ultimately, it's by His grace that you woke up this morning.
Right.
It's by His grace that you are alive, that you're by His grace that you are part of this day. So Jesus says right here, ask shall be given unto you. But then James says, you don't have because you don't ask. Jesus is not saying that believers always get what they want or ask for. You cannot go ask God for wrong things and wrong motives and expect God to give it to you. He's not going against His will or His word. Oh, Lord, I really need that $5 million. You know, I need to get this, this, and that. And you expect God to give it to you. Dream on. Dream on. Oh, goodness. God is always pleased with such a display of faith when we talk to Him daily and talk to Him faithfully. I have a brother one time. He said, he lived here in East Providence. He still lives here in East Providence. He said, I was so struggling with this issue in my life, so strong. So I went in my backyard, and I was talking to my God. He said, I guess my voice got a little higher. And after a little while, he said, I lost count of time. I noticed that my neighbor was peeking over the fence watching me. And I kind of like, you know, because my eyes were closed, my eyes were open. And when I noticed him, I didn't know what to do. So I continued to pray. Because I needed to finish talking with my God. And He's there the whole time. So what do you do in a case like that? You see, it's a display of faith, right? You see somebody go, oh, I'm going to stop. No. What about you go to, let's say you get out of here, go to a restaurant, and you sit down, and you feel convicted to give, ask God to bless your food, and you, because you're so thankful for it. But you look around and you go, oh, what are these people going to think? That's a lack of faith. That's a lack of trust. You know why? Because our God is bigger than anybody in that place. You see, if we believe, we ask, and God will do it. Folks, how do you want the Lord to answer your prayers if you really never ask Him? Number two, the need to seek. We see several verses there I have for you. The word seek intensifies the process. We ask, but we seek when we don't know where something is or some, or we go in with our lives. We understand that there is a concentrated time on which we need to, I mean, of course, I'll go back a little bit. For to seek, we need to spend time with it. We need to seek something that is a blessing to us. So, yes, prayer is asking, but it's also seeking. Not a hit and run.
Right.
Prayer is not a hit and run. It is seeking God's face.
Yeah.
I tell you what. Some Christians don't understand God because they never seek Him. We need to seek the Lord's face. We need to seek His words. We need to seek His words. And let Him talk to us. Let me ask you a question. How often do you read your Bible? Oh, I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'm too busy scrolling on Facebook. I'm too busy on all this, those social medias, but I don't have time to read my Bible. Oh, you know, I can't carry one of these because it's papers to you. We have Bible softwares. Download one. Oh, I am too busy. I am such a busy person. We should have like 48 hours in a day instead of 24 hours because I'm just too busy scrolling Facebook. I don't have time to pray. We need to seek the face of God. In this day and age that we live in right now, with so much uncertainty, so many lies going on, you know what we need? We need to seek the face of God. You know the friends you hang up with, young people? Are they godly people? Did you pray for them? Amen. We need to seek the face of God in this day and age. What a believer ought to seek is to seek the Lord. Look what it says in Psalm 27:8. When thou shalt said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You see that? The psalmist said, Lord, your face I will seek. I tell you what, blessed is the man that seeks the Lord. Psalm 105:4 says these words, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face forevermore. God is encouraging us in his word to seek him. We ask him, believing by faith, but we seek his face daily. We ought to seek his face daily. Number three, with the need to knock. Look what it says. Then Jesus says in Matthew, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Folks, how often do you knock on heaven's door? How often you go, Lord, I'm here again begging you. I'm here again at your door. I tell you what, if you don't knock, the door doesn't open. It just doesn't. Let me tell you, if you're not saved here today, if you don't open the door of your heart, guess what? God doesn't come in. But let me tell you, God says, ask, seek, and knock. You see the intensity of prayer? God wants us to ask him. He wants us to seek him and also knock until we get it. I give you an example. When I was a kid, I shared this example here before. When I was a kid, my dad, when you walk in public, my dad always tell us to put our hands, especially me, as in his pocket and just hold there. Because my dad, you know, it's a Portuguese culture, you use your hands a lot when you talk. You're like, you move it all over the place. So you want a hands-free thing. So I had to hold it over here. So I used to go, Dad, Dad, Dad. What was I doing? I was knocking. I wanted his attention. And let me tell you, when we knock, God knows. God knows that we're knocking. And we have to be persistent in our knocking. Keep knocking until he just turns his attention to us and say, child, what is it? I tell you what. Asking in prayer happens when you know what you need and you present your request to God. Seeking in prayer happens when you don't know what you need, but you seek the face of God. You are in the middle of a fork in the road, and you don't know what direction to go. What do you do? Oh, my name is Mo, catch a tug by the toe. Let me go this way. No, you seek the face of God and say, Lord, what do you want me to go, the right or to the left? I go where you want me to go, Lord. That's seeking the face of God. Knocking happens when there's a closed door in your life that you cannot open. And you ask God to open for you. So we ask in believing in faith. We seek God's face when we don't know where we're going to go. And we knock when we persistently for the Lord to open doors. You know, there are doors in our life that God shuts it down. And what do? Stay on the outside? No. You look for another open door. I say to people, if you lose your job because of your faith in God, believe me, God's going to open another one. It might not be the one you want, but God will provide because Our God is a providing God. Let it be our prayer approach repeated. Our prayer approach repeated. Look what it says in verse 8. For everyone that asketh it, receive it, and he that seeketh, find it, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Jesus says this way, if you ask, if you seek, and if you knock, let me tell you, it's going to happen. Here in verse 7 as an enough, Jesus repeats over again God's promise to you and to me. To him that knocketh, it shall be open. There's no exceptions. He doesn't say only I open for you and you. It's for every child of God. There's no exceptions. If you seek God, you will find him. God's promise, we see this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, and it says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all your heart. Now let me tell you this. When you pray, you pour all your heart to God. Good question, isn't it? I think the first thing we should, when we pray, the first thing we should do is ask God to forgive us. Amen. That obstacle is out of the way. But God wants us to seek him, to ask him, to knock, but we do that with all of our heart. We do it believing that our God cares enough to listen to us and to us and to do the impossible. I mean, whosoever means anyone. There's no exception. God loves his children. Salvation, for example, is open to all people, not for a select few. Salvation is open, and God will open the door to anyone. God wants you to ask. The question is, are you asking? Are you talking to God? Are you seeking his face? Where are you right now in life? Are you in the fork in the road? What are you going to do? Which way you go, left or right? Which way you going to go? Oh, I don't know. Are you seeking God's face? Are you asking him, Lord, which way you want me to go? Because ultimately, he will tell you which way you should go. Number two, the Lord's principle in answering prayer. Next, Jesus moves from God's promise to answer prayer to God's principle in answering prayer. We find this in verse 9 to verse 11. This principle here is a twofold. Number one, or letter A, human fathers give good gifts to their children. You agree with that? What godly father doesn't give his children a good gift? Look what it says there. For what a man is there of you whom his son asks bread and you give him a stone? And look what it says. And if he asks a fish, will he give you a serpent? See, first of all, human fathers give good gifts to their children. Here Jesus uses the illustration of the bread and the stone, the fish and the snake. If your child is hungry and asks you for bread, you will give something good to them. And you go out of your way to provide for your children. If he asks some fish, you would give him. You're not going to give him a snake. If your child asks you for something good, you are not going to give him something. You're going to give something good instead. You wouldn't do something bad to him. Why? Because you love your children. So human fathers and mothers give good gifts to their children. Don't they do? Most people, I say some wicked ones out there, don't get me wrong, but most godly fathers and mothers, they give good gifts to their children. They're sleeping. You are downstairs cooking breakfast or lunch for them, and you call them up to the table. You don't put a stone for them to eat. You put food on the table, right? Because you love them. Now, human fathers give good gifts to their children. Number one, human fathers are sinful, yet they give good gifts. Listen, there's no a human father that is perfect. You show me one. There's no human fathers that are perfect. We are sinners. Actually, church is our hospital for sinners. Amen. That's what we are. We all have needs. We all have problems. We all have, you know, we get together. We trust the Lord together, worship the Lord together. But let me tell you, there's no one here in this church, including me, that is perfect. We all have faults. But let me tell you, even besides that, we give good gifts to our children. So human fathers are sinful, yet they give good gifts to their children. We love our children and we long to do and give good things to them. Jesus points here, human fathers are sinful, yet they give good gifts to their children. Let it be. God gives greater gifts to his children. Now here comes the problem of faith. Do you believe that God can give you greater gifts than a earthly father? That's what faith comes about. See, if you don't believe that, you're going to miss it out. Because God is the Father, the creator of all things. He says to you and me, I can give you more than your earthly fathers give you. For an example, you're living today. That's God's gift of life to you. Amen. You have a place to sleep. That God's gift to you. You say, whoa, that's my mom and dad working. Yeah, right. They have a privilege to work because God allows them to work. Amen. See, if you come to the reality of all of it, it is God doing all. So number one, God is perfect, loving, and righteous. Look what it says in verse 11. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give you things to them that ask him? See, God, Jesus says, if your earthly father is giving you these things, how much more can God give you? Ye of little faith. First of all, God isn't sinful. God is perfect, loving, and righteous. If our sinfulness doesn't get in the way of a way of giving good gifts to our children, and then how much more our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, will give it to us? How often do you ask him? How often do you seek his face? How often do you knock on heaven's door? I cannot do that for you, folks. You have to do that for yourself. You see, some people's prayers like fast food restaurants. 1, 2, 3, they're good. And if they don't get it right away, they get mad. Work in a fast food place and go to the drive-thru. Some people try to climb through the windows. You know why? Because they want it here now. We live in a fast-paced society. I want it now. Why do you think all these things, are, you know, one of these days you go to a fast food hospital. I mean, a fast health hospital. You go there, they kick your leg off, out the door you go. I'm just kidding. But we live in a fast-paced society on what you want here now. Listen, how often do you ask God? How often do you seek his face? How often do you knock on heaven's door? All these three steps requires faith. Not a little faith. It requires solid faith. Listen, rock faith. Because if we don't have solid rock faith in God, guess what? You will miss it out. God wants to give it to you. But how you ask. Number two, God is on the giving end. Folks, here's the thing. What churches want is money. That's society's logo today. Why am I going to church? The only thing they talk about is money. Not this church. When is the last time I preach on money here? I just don't. You know why? Because my goal is to teach you the word of God so you can grow in the Lord. Of course, we have to be obedient to what God says to us and give what God says to us, but I don't need to shove that in your throat all the time. It is a need for that. But let me tell you. I'll tell you what. God is on the giving end. We think that if we tip God with some $1 or 50 cents, we're good. No, listen, God gives you more than you can ever give him. You cannot outgive God. He says to you and me, ask, seek, knock, and will be given unto you. You see, our God is a giving God and is in the giving end. You know what? And we, instead of being the giving end, we are in the receiving end. We think we are in the giving end, but it's the opposite. God is the one who's out in the giving end, and we are in the receiving end. What did you receive here? If you saved here today, you received the greatest gift you can ever receive, salvation. You know, salvation is no money in this world that can pay salvation. It's no money in this world. There's nothing in this world that can pay the price of salvation. Jesus did. You see, you in the receiving end. The blessings of God is many blessings that you just in the receiving end. You don't know how you would pay for it. But God is in the giving end. You are in the receiving end. You will depart from this world. You will go to heaven. You see that? God is in the giving end, you are in the receiving end, because you don't have to go to heaven. You were there by the grace of God, not because you and I deserve it. See, we live in a society today, I'm a good person, I do all these good things, I sometimes, you know, I might just go through Dunkin' Donuts and pay for the guy behind me and to make a little chain of giving, and all these good things, how good have it because of that? You know what? You will not. You know why? Because you need to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, and you will be in a receiving end, and have it become yours because it is God giving it to you. Let's go to our last point, number three. The Lord's positive rule for living. Did you ever heard of the golden rule? We see this in verse 12. Look what it says. Wherefore, all things whatsoever ye would do that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So Jesus closed this session of preaching here with God's positive rule for living, what we often call the golden rule in our day. It was not called a golden rule in the Bible. We don't find that. But people started calling it sometime during the Middle Ages. Here in verse 12. So verse 12 not only sums up the session of the sermon, but really the whole Sermon on the Mount so far. But it's significant that it follows Jesus' teaching on prayer. Jesus is, as God, is generous to answer in prayer, answering our prayers. So we should be generous to others and in our love for them. But it says right here, therefore, look what it says. It says, ask, seek, and knock. And it says, after that, it says, therefore. That's an important word right here. All things whatsoever ye do, that men should do unto you. Let me tell you this. He says, listen, do you want people to be kind to you? Be kind to them. You want people to respect you? Respect them. You want people not to lie to you? Oh, well, I mean, but don't lie to them. It goes, listen, it's the golden rule. We have to treat others the way we want them to treat us. Folks, we live in a world today that's not like that. Selfishness abounds in our world. Me first, I don't care about others. You're driving in a highway, mind your own business. Somebody cuts you off. You almost drive off the road. What does that mean? They don't care about you. That's what it means. I'm going to my destination. I don't care where you're going. It amazes me when I go to my job and we have about 5,000 people driving one direction and everybody try to cut you off to go to the same parking lot. And I'm like, where in the world? I mean, you're going to park next to me when I get there. But you have to go, you know, our selfishness. I just have to get ahead of you. So letter A, we see a positive phrase for living. Verse 12. Let me make three comments here and for this closing. This is God's positive rule for living. So first of all, notice that it is a phrase positively rather than negatively. Folks, living by the golden rule is not a negative way of living. There is nothing wrong by living the golden rule itself, as long as we don't use it in a legalistic way of living. Our God desires for his children to have a positive look at life, not a negative look at life. You follow that? Listen, there are people that are very pessimist about everything. That's not the way God wants you to live. God wants you to be joyful, to enjoy life, to enjoy God's creation, and to live the word of God in this world. It's not a negative thing. So what is the golden rule? The golden rule is the name given to the principle Jesus taught here in the Sermon on the Mount. Actually, the word golden rule, like I said, is not found in the scriptures. The title, like I said, it came in the Middle Ages. So the phrase golden rule began to ascribe to this teaching of Jesus during the 16th and 17th century. What we call the golden rule refers here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So again, we see the implication that people are naturally lovers of self, and the command uses the human flaw as a place to start in how to treat other people. Let me tell you, how you treat others. Young people, how you treat your parents. When they talk to you, how you talk back to them. The workplace, the places we go, how we treat people. Jesus pretty much teaching here, we ought to treat others the way we want them to treat us. We say, but I know many people, I treat them kind, they don't treat me kind. Don't go down to that level and do the same way that the same things that they do. Now, because now your testimony goes down the water. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Listen to this. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor is thyself. Listen, when you look at this verse right here, the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, it takes all the selfishness away from us. Because if you are selfish, you don't love your neighbor, you love you. But if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, guess what happened? Now you're going to respect them and treat them the way you want them to respect and treat you. What is interesting here to notice that about the golden rule is that no other religious system even come close to this, because it is a wonderful thing to live by. So for an example, Confucianism, what you do not want them to do to you. Very similar. Hinduism says, this is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what you cause pain is done for you. Buddhism says, hurt not others in ways that yourself would find hurtful. So we see this, we see, actually there's accusation saying that Jesus took this particular verse out of these religions, but that's not true. Because Jesus took this stuff way, way back from the Old Testament. Jesus quoted the Old Testament, and he was quoted the Old Testament, and people today try to say, oh, Jesus used, no. Jesus, it wasn't the Old Testament already written, the Golden Rule. So the Golden Rule, it is a wonderful thing to live by, but we have to understand this way. We live by, we treat others the way we want others to treat us. Let us say Jesus and the Golden Rule. Look what it says there. For this is the law and the prophet. Notice Jesus' reason for following the Golden Rule. For this is the law and the prophets right here. You don't follow this rule in order to get something back. You do not treat people well in order that they might treat you well. No, you follow this rule simply because it sums up the law and the prophets. It sums up that Jesus has been teaching us about the Christian character, influence, righteousness, motivation, and in relationships. And let me tell you, if we follow, if we sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from the Master, learn with the Master, and let me tell you, we're going to be people that will make a difference in this world that we live in. So you in the workplace, you don't curse and swear and talk bad about other people. You know what you're doing? You're respecting another human being. Let me tell you, living the golden rule, it is a wonderful thing to do. I tell you why, because we're doing what God calls us to do, what Jesus says right here. Don't do unto others what you don't want them to do unto you. So we see this right here. But how we do this, folks, it all takes faith. It takes faith. Prayer is by faith, and to live this way is faith. You say, what's the use? Nobody believes in God anymore. Nobody believes the Bible anymore. Nobody cares about church anymore. The question is not for you to answer that. The question is, do you believe? Do you pray? Do you believe? Do you pray? Do you still believe in the old book? Do you still believe in the God of the Bible? It's not what others do. The problem right here is what you do. You see, we have a tendency to look at others and point the finger and say, nobody's doing anything. What about you? Are you doing it? Because ultimately, let me tell you this, you cannot control what other people do. The only thing you can control is you. Even that, sometimes we don't do a good job at it. So why are we so worried about what others do when we're not willing to actually control what we do? Ask, are you asking? Seek, are you seeking? Knock, are you knocking? Are you treating people the way you want them to treat you? You see, we find ourselves talking more about people than actually treating people the way we should treat, the way God wants us to treat them. So it's like we live with a chip on our shoulders. And we go, touch me. Go ahead. Go ahead, touch me. That's what we used to do in the ballparks. Today nobody plays in the ballparks anymore. Everybody's doing video games. But in my days when I was a kid, we went to the ballpark. So the kids would walk around. Oh, go ahead, touch it. Go ahead, go ahead. And sometimes we go, we touch it and go, so what are you going to do now? Nothing. We're just a show-off. All the folks know what I'm talking about here. But let me tell you, it's not about what others do. It's what you do. The question is right here, and Jesus is very practical here. Are you asking God for the things that you cannot do? You see, are you asking God to fix our country? Are you asking God to fix our White House? Are you asking God to change our politics? Are you doing that, or are you just talking about it? Because there's nothing we really can do, but God can do something. Are you seeking God when you don't know where to go? And some of you might be in a fork in the road right now. Where am I going, Lord? Seek His face. Wait on Him. He will give you the answer that you need. Let me tell you, are you knocking? How you want to talk to God if you're not knocking on heaven's door? There's a song out there, Knock, Knock on Heaven's Door. Don't go listen to the song, all right? But there is one out there. And believe me, they're not even saved. They didn't even believe that. How much we Christians should believe that? Either there are rock and roll people out there that don't believe in God. They're singing the song out loud. And we Christians, we don't believe in knocking heaven's door. Oh, goodness. That's a wonderful door to knock in. Have you ever been in a door, you knock and you never know you're going to come to the door? So I never been there. Well, come with me on visitation. I see that. You're knocking and you never know he's going to come. You know, he's on the other side of the door. But when you knock on heaven's door, you know he's behind that door. You know he's going to come to that door. He's not going to be no surprises. How God's going to be there. He's going to open the door. What about treating others the way you want to be treated? You see, even the little ones need to be treated with respect. Mom, Dad, if you make a mistake, don't be so prideful and selfish not to get down and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let your kids know that you're not perfect. Because there's a lot of prideful, selfish parents out there that are, because they're people. They're people just like someday they're going to be fathers and mothers. They need to see the example of mom and dad, that they're people, they're important. Treat others the way you want to be treated. You see what we can learn from the Word of God? We can learn those things, that we need to respect our fellow men. I said this last week, I say it again. You know why we have so much racism in our country, in our world? Because we don't respect our fellow men. I didn't ask God to be born to the family that I was born to. God put me there. If I had to ask God for the family I was should be born to, oh goodness, I would have a long list. I have lots of money, a yacht, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I would go down the list. But guess what? I didn't. God put me there. I didn't ask God what should be the color of my skin. God gave me the color that I have. You know what? And we, as Christians, should respect human beings. Amen. For what they are. They are people made in the image of God. Right. And you know what? Do unto others the way that you want them to do unto you. Respect people from the littlest ones to the oldest ones. You go to a nursing home, respect the elderly. Amen. You see a person in a wheelchair, respect them. They're human beings. You go into a hospital, respect them. You see somebody that maybe his mind is not all there, respect them. Have a heart. And that's what Jesus tried to tell you here. We ought to treat others the way we want to be treated. Listen, if somebody is an invalid, is in a wheelchair, they didn't ask for that. I was looking at, I don't know if you're familiar with Patch the Pirate. Patch the Pirate is a great ministry. The man had cancer, lost his eye. He put a patch there. He became to write things for little kids. He became to be known as Patch the Pirate. Some of you might know who he is. I follow them. I tell you what. He's in a nursing home these days. He has Alzheimer's and he doesn't know where he is. But there's one thing that, one song that he still can play in the piano. I Love Jesus. He still can play that song. But let me tell you. There was a pastor friend that I know in California that went to see him. And I could see the respect for the man. We respect, listen, because he didn't ask to get to that condition. Let me tell you, folks, you and I'll finish with this. You and I don't know how what's going to happen tomorrow to me and you. Right. You might end up tomorrow in a wheelchair. You might end up losing your mind being in a nursing home somewhere. You might end up being a very needy person physically. Don't you want people to take care of you and respect you? Yep. But let me tell you, folks, it starts with you. We need to respect other human beings the way we want them to respect us. That's the words of Jesus here. Ask, seek, knock, respect. Let me tell you, it takes faith in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this passage of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, that the throne is open, Lord, and we can approach you. We can ask. We can seek your face. We can knock on heaven's door. And Lord, we have the wonderful privilege to respect our fellow man the way we want to be respected. I pray, Father, help us to be people that bring honor and glory to your name. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here this morning never received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, may this morning they realize they're sinners, they're lost, and they need you. In Jesus' name I pray.